This is Gaten the Mecha, the weekly anime and manga show where we take things one step further. I analyze everything from arcs to OPs to episodes in my wacky but enjoyable quest to make sense of all of it. Welcome back to Gaten the Mecha. I'm your host Jamal today, and in today's episode, we are looking at anime. That's something we already do quite a lot anyway, but in today's episode, I want to talk about what I've been watching in lockdown and what I've been kind of watching over the last 6 months, kind of catch you up on that. This will probably be a bit of a shorter episode because I do have a lot of things going on at the moment, and as soon as I do finish this episode, I'm essentially going to have to pack up all this equipment, and so I just need to get one out. And I thought this would be a good time to kind of just reflect, as this is not only the last time in this setup, but also we are in a sort of new phase of the year. It's not to say that things haven't ended in regards to the global health crisis right now. Obviously, still stay safe and the rest of it, but it's kind of different to where we were about 6 months ago, and so I kind of just want to cover that today. If you do enjoy this episode, it would be lovely if you left it a review, whether that's on Apple Podcasts, wherever you do get your podcasts. And speaking of that, there was actually a rating on Apple Podcasts, which I checked recently. I don't know who it's from specifically or where it's from, but regardless, thank you very much for leaving a rating. That's very much appreciated. I did also tweet about it in case said person was out there and I didn't know who they were, but thank you very much for leaving a rating. It's very appreciated and helps others find the show and such. But let's not waste too much time. Here is the episode for this week. That is episode 62 of Gaten the Mecha, a look into my lockdown picks. As always on Gaten the Mecha, I like to give you spoiler alerts and such in case there are any, but in the case of this episode, there will not be any spoilers. I will be doing plot summaries, and obviously if you don't like synopses or summaries, then feel free to skip on this one, or skip on the summaries, or just skip on this episode as a whole, to be honest. But there shouldn't be anything spoilery. It's merely me just talking generally about the anime or manga or manhwa that I have encountered and read or got into recently. So even though there's been a global health crisis right now with the pandemic and everything, unfortunately, for many of us, this has meant that we had a lot of time at home to just really, I like to call it, I don't know if I said it in an earlier episode, sort of bathe in our own minds and think and reflect. It also gave us a good time to really indulge in media and try some new things that we maybe wouldn't have if we didn't have as much time or we were getting on with our daily lives. And that definitely includes me as well, with class just cancelled for about 6 months. That meant that I had a lot of time on my hands to try a few more things, which I probably wouldn't get into as much. Within that time, I got a lot of a chance to enjoy the usual anime, manga, manhwa, etc. that I'd usually watch and read, but also I managed to try a bunch of new things which I probably wouldn't go for based on their length and the commitment which it would take. And so in this episode, I really just want to give you some of my highlights from this period, because even though I have had in the moment segments on most of the episodes which I do, it doesn't really sum up everything which I've been doing, or at least it doesn't sum up a good amount of what I've been doing. We did do the One Piece episodes as well, but that's kind of, I probably would have done that whether that was during lockdown or not. It was really just on a whim. But a lot of these other things were really just because I knew that those are extra few hours I had in my day, or that extra few weeks, which I probably wouldn't have if I was on a regular schedule. Obviously, this is in relation to me and the pandemic. However, if you are listening to this in the potential, and I hope, post-corona world or something, then maybe you are listening to this and you want to go on holiday or something, you want to get away from your family, or you're going on a long camping trip or something like that. These aren't really recommendations, it's more of what I've done, but it's the highlights of what I've done and why I think they're suitable for a long period like a pandemic, lockdown or something like that. Hopefully we won't be going into another one. Or maybe you just have a day where you have a lot of time and you just want to get lost in something, or lost in something greater than just the piece itself. And that's what I'll be doing today. In this episode, I have chosen to talk about one manga, one anime, and one manhwa to kind of give a bit more variety and spread when it comes to the format. And so the first one is Downfall by Inio Asano, also known as Reiraku in Japanese. I made an episode about this manga not long ago, maybe relative to the podcast is quite long, but in weeks it doesn't feel like that long, but I did make a whole episode surrounding it, and so I don't want to get into it too much, but in summary, it's an 8-chapter manga about a mangaka who's kind of falling out of love with the format which he makes, manga, and in the process burns a few bridges for himself and such. It's quite upsetting and quite dark to an extent, maybe not in the typical gory, violent sense, but definitely emotionally quite dark and rather heavy, even though it's 8 chapters. This is the first Asano manga which I've read, and I do plan to read others as well as Pun Pun, the most famous one, DDD, and a few others. I do intend to get into Asano a bit more, but I really wanted to take the plunge with something that wasn't too long and took too much commitment. It is a really good way to get into an author or mangaka's work, I think. And now I'm kind of understanding, even though it's still very early, I feel like I'm getting somewhat of an understanding as to why some people call Asano one of the greatest mangakas of this generation and potentially of all time. And the reason for that is just because he's able to really capture the human condition and human emotions. One of the few creatives I think is really good at doing this is Hideaki Anno, as we discussed the last episode, and how he's able to capture the human condition through Evangelion, an anime which does actually move quite far from reality in its logic when it comes to mechas and such, but still manages to capture what is us and what we do with problems and how we try to solve and run away from them. Asano, I think, does a very similar thing with his work, but also does this in a different sense based on the context, because this is based in a city and not a post-apocalyptic world, and generally just captures emotion in a very different way to someone like Anno would do. Also, we can talk about the differences in formats as well. In this case, I think Downfall is really good because it's able to criticize or potentially just comment, because I don't think we're able to say directly that it's criticizing the art world per se, but it's most definitely able to comment on the industry which he's in through the fake, just like we spoke about last episode as well. There are a lot of similarities here when it comes to using the fake to comment on the real. Often we use the real and live examples and stuff to comment on the fake or fiction, but fiction commenting on the real world is probably just as important, and Asano manages to do that within this very manga, talking about everything from pretension to ambition and inspiration, all in the space of 8 chapters. There's also another layer to this besides just the art stuff and the artistic stuff, but it also goes to a sort of existential layer as well, discussing freedom and bad faith to some extent. The power of our words and the power of the audience is probably just as valuable as the voice of the author. Not particular, I think value might be the wrong term, because value is often seen as positive value, but I would say more of impacts. Yeah, that's a better word. Our impact on the author is probably just as important in the meaning and, yes, value of a media product. And the fact that Asano manages to capture that in 8 chapters alone is beyond me, but he does it so well, and I can really get behind why people love Asano as a writer. And so now let's go to the core question, which is why did I think this was great to read during a pandemic, or at least during lockdown? And that's because it's a short read. Yes, there are a lot of things going on at the moment and were going on at the moment. I read this kind of at the peak of the lockdown, when you would go outside and it would pretty much be almost quiet. You would see the one person every like other street or something like that. It was just a very quiet place the world was, really. But it's a short read, and also even though it is tense and there are some heavy themes to get into, it's probably a lot better than reading the news or something like that. Not to say the news isn't important, but I would much rather do some heavy thinking and heavy mental lifting elsewhere than focus on the news right now, because the news isn't very positive at all. As I said, also, this is a short read, so this is something you can read in about a day. It took me 2 days, or I think it was 3 days to do this. I kind of read it segmentedly. You can read one chapter a day and finish it in a week, or in a week and a day. You can do it all in one day. You can spread it across the days. You can do whatever you want with this, really, when it comes to how you want to approach it. But I think what's most valuable is that you take the core themes from it and really change, or at least let it influence your ideas of the art world and the industry, because it has some very good commentary on it. Moving on, my second pick, which is my anime pick, is Fate Grand Order Absolute Demonic Front Babylonia. I have spoken about this anime before, and I think that goes to prove that I do like it a lot. This is probably the best. I know I said picks, I didn't particularly say top picks, they're more just my highlights from this past 6 months, but either way, I do think that this is probably my favorite anime I've watched within the lockdown. Essentially, I could have changed this for something like Fire Force, or potentially even Kara no Kyokai, or Liz and the Bluebird, or something like that, but I wanted to put Fate Grand Order because there's a specific thing which really makes me enjoy this anime, and that's the fact that my enjoyment goes beyond just the text itself, but looking at what makes the text, or not really the text, but more the production, yeah. And in this case, that is Sakugan animation. That is something which I have shown an obsession for in the past few months. Mostly this year has probably been my Sakuga pill awakening, and Fate Grand Order only pushed that agenda even more. In summary, Fate Grand Order involves the last master of Chaldea, as well as his demi-servant known as Mashu, as they reshift through time in order to close up these singularities, since it's been confirmed that the Mage King Solomon intends to destroy the world sometime in the future, and as a result they need to travel to the past to solve these singularities. In the case of the Babylonia Singularity, or the Babylonia Arc, Fujimaru, he is the last master of Chaldea, I forgot to say his name, but Fujimaru and Mash time travel to 2655 BC in their long-term effort to stop the destruction of the world. In this case, they need to travel to Mesopotamia to stop this three goddess alliance from forming, and a whole load of other crazy historical stuff. It's pretty good, and although, yes, this anime does have a bit of quirks to it, if that makes sense, the way Fate Grand Order has worked is that with Babylonia, even though we did have the First Order, I think a few years back, Fate Grand Order, Absolute Demonic from Babylonia, is essentially the first proper arc in Fate Grand Order now, and that means that we've skipped about, if I'm correct, 7 arcs. We've skipped so many singularities already, even though we will have the Camelot singularity and the Solomon singularity adapted. Those are both confirmed to come out. The Camelot will be in the form of a movie, and I believe Solomon will be in the form of a series by Cloverworks, who also worked on this one as well. And even though we do have those weird quirks to it, it is very exciting to watch. I think it also shows a lot when it comes to me and enjoying a show when, even though I know that we're basically on the brink of endgame, because Solomon, if I'm correct, I don't play the game, but if I'm correct, Solomon should be the endgame of Fate Grand Order completely. And so, the fact that I'm enjoying this, even though I know that we skipped so many arcs and we're near the end, I think it shows that the show manages to bridge the gap to some extent. I did do some reading in advance. There was an amazing Crunchyroll summary about everything prior to Babylonia, which was actually really helpful. But then also just, it did just make it easy to understand sort of anyway. You don't need to have masses of context. And so the fact that I did enjoy this show, even though we were towards the end, still means that I think there's a lot going for it, essentially. I must be honest and say that one of the main reasons why I enjoyed this show so much is that it brought a lot of talented animators and staff together. This anime has what was one of my favorite episodes this year, Fate Grand Order episode 18. I might as well just quit Fate Grand Order as is because we don't really have much prior that have many episodes like that. So FGO 18, maybe not the climax itself, but probably the peak of this anime. The clash between this group of protagonists and this massive antagonist. As I said, there won't be spoilers in this episode, but I'm going to kind of break down the staff who featured in this episode, as they deserve a lot of recognition for doing this. Episode 18 sees the collaboration of three amazing animators. There are more as well, but in the case of this part, we have three very good animators. We have Hironori Tanaka, we have Nikaya Onsen, and we have Toshiyuki Sato. If you are into Sakuga animation, those names should really stand out to you, because these are probably three of the, I'm never really trying to say who is the best, because that's not what it's about. It's an industry, it's not really a competition, but I will say that these are three very strong animators in their space right now and are doing great work. What's great is that I would say for these three mostly, we can see the features of their animation and their styles within these cuts. If you are aware of Hironori Tanaka, they are very known for their work on hair. If you do like look through either Sakuraburo or you search Hironori Tanaka MAD, you will see a cut of Tanaka with some very beautiful and wavy fabric and hair animation, and that's really what they're known for. And that very thing that they're known for is communicated in their cuts, as we had this very monumental moment where we have the hair waving around in almost full time Tanaka style. It's also a really good way of communicating passion and emotion without actually doing some, say, we can call it hard character acting, so through facial expressions and body movements. Although, yes, your hair is technically a part of your body, but the hair alone communicates a sort of passion and emotion, or even fear and anger and aggression in some cases, without actually having to do anything else. And that is where Tanaka really shines, and it's really almost niche thing, not say hair animation and fabric animation is quote unquote niche. It's always been a thing in anime that, okay, when the wind blows and the hair moves, that's already a means of communicating some sort of emotion or key emotion. But when Tanaka does it, whether that's during a fight scene or even just when someone's running down the street and you see their hair flapping about, that is a way of communicating emotions with the audience. Nakaya Onsen is probably a standout animator for me when it comes to the WebGen animators. And what's even cooler is that they managed to direct this episode as well, and did storyboards also. And on top of that, they were animation director as well for, I think, part of this episode, if not all of it. And what an animation director does is they apply corrections to cuts. That usually ends up meaning that they do kind of resemble their style to some extent. And you can see that also. I don't know how much influence they have. That's something which I'm still learning about. But similarly to some of their work on Azure Lane, you can see this very interesting means of shading on how often on an Onsen cut, when working with light, there seems to be a sort of bleached out look, and we get to see that on the face of one of these characters. Even though I can't particularly confirm this information, so don't take that as fact and say that that is a complete feature of the Onsen style, it could just be a weird coincidence. But Onsen in the past has worked on what we can call a Kaganashi style of cuts, which is essentially the absence of shadows. I think that is a feature which ends up kind of getting into a lot of Onsen's work as well, because it's really dialing back the shadows for emphasizing light and these sort of greater tints and such. Generally, I think it's just a big achievement to have someone in the WebGen group animating as well as directing. We saw that with Shingo Yamashita, one of my favorite animators. It's nice to see animators like them getting into work that isn't directly just animating only and only doing key animation, but growing and moving up the ladder almost to directing work as well. And I don't think I clarified it, but Shingo Yamashita was the one who directed Twilight Wings or Pokemon Twilight Wings. And then there's Toshiyuki Sato. I don't really know too much about the style of Toshiyuki Sato, but I think one thing which I can always say is that Sato's cuts most of the time seem to just have or be in massive scale. I will say that I feel like there are some animators who, although yes, sometimes the cuts are given to them, but sometimes they've grown and evolved to a level where the scale of their work ends up kind of just fitting the name. When you think of Nakamura cut or Yutaka Nakamura cut, often you think of the massive Utapon scenes from My Hero Academia or something like that, or a massive scene from Darker Than Black or Kekkai Sensa. That is at least what I think of most of the time. When I think of Nakamura, I think of cubes, I think of insane impact frames and all of those sorts of things. When you think of Adafumi Emai, I often think of massive rotations and background animation, really detailed smears and a few more other features. Toshiyuki Sato, I don't necessarily think has a specific style from what I've been studying of them. That's not to say they don't have a style, but it's really the scale of these cuts. And similarly to their work on One Punch Man or The God of High School recently, or Mob Psycho 100, and even Promare having that massive volcano shot. But because of that, I think you can see the scale of Toshiyuki Sato's work. It just fits the name perfectly. And FGO 18, an anime or episode of an anime which is massive, it's insanely ambitious, and features probably the biggest attacks we've seen in the entire series so far, and the biggest scale fights we've seen so far. Sato's name matches that perfectly. Fate Grand Order Babylonia generally just features so many talented animators, and I would say that it's just a great thing to get into. Whether that's looking at some of the few cuts from Wellen Zhang, whether that's Eri Rei's moments, whether that's Ken Yamamoto, whether that's the three I mentioned. So much talent is in here, and it shows so well. This is one of the most ambitious pieces I've seen ever. And now we go back to the big question, which is, why did I watch this in lockdown? And why was this a good thing to watch in lockdown? It was a good thing because the thing about anime like this, similarly to a lot of the anime which I also like Fire Force and such, the reason why these are great is that it ends up extending beyond just the text itself, and my excitement goes beyond just the anime and watching the anime. Often what would happen is that I watch an episode. There's almost no episode of Fate Grand Order which isn't somewhat exciting. And so I would watch an episode, I would go into Sakuburo, which is where we analyze cuts and such. I would go on there, I would look at the clips in frame by frame, I would get excited about them, I would talk about them on Twitter, maybe, and then we would repeat the process. And that's kind of what I do with a lot of anime in general, but Fate Grand Order is probably one of the few which got me into this cycle of doing so. It was a great way of learning about new animators as well, and pretty much when it came to lockdown and everything which has been going on at the moment, it's been a great chance to just get my head busy doing other things and getting excited about other things rather than going back to the news. Even though it is a bit more time consuming than simply just sitting down and watching anime, I could have probably watched 3 episodes in the time which I watched one, because a lot of the time would be looking at, okay, this is what happened in the episode, and reviewing that in my head and kind of just doing a mental review and study of some of the animators. That takes time, but I would also say it's very worth it for if you're into animation and you want to analyze cuts and look at other animator styles. Now my final pick, which is in the manhwa section, is Silent War. I'm going to try and be as careful as possible when talking about this. I know this podcast is rated explicit, and I should state now, this is a explicit manhwa. If you get what I'm trying to say, this is an NSFW manga, or manhwa, sorry. And so do read it at your own risk. I just want to make that clear. That is the disclaimer. Don't say I didn't warn you. I only managed to find one link for this, and it was on Anime Planet. That was the only reliable list site I could actually find a link for to put in the show notes if you want to find out about this. So that is kind of telling about the type of manhwa this is. So my strategy for talking about Silent War is really to talk about it very carefully, and then I'll kind of generally just talk about Modern War. So I'm kind of cheating and saying it's Silent War, but it's really just getting into Modern War as a whole during the whole lockdown situation in the past few months. And so my PG summary of Silent War. In summary, Silent War follows a guy known as Hyun who finds himself getting involved in a bad group of people. These guys end up wanting to start a sort of controversial type of business with some very shady practices. Hyun comes into this business plan as he attempts to assist this quote-unquote business through sports betting. He's been a sort of prodigy at doing it, he's analyzed a lot of things, and now he's pretty much a pro at sports betting. Despite this, these bad people still treat him very badly. Also do note, and one of the reasons why he is within this circle is that there's a girl in there which he does love, or he does like quite a lot. But with the leader of the circle, Gunner, because of him it's very hard to kind of get in with this girl that he really likes. Basically, Silent War is a scandalous story about money, gangs, sleeping, and love. The thing is, it's not like YouTube, I'm not going to get demonetized or anything, but I just want to keep the tone of the podcast relatively safe, even though I know that there aren't really consequences, even if I did describe it in a much more risque way than it really is or how it actually is. Do know that this is it's getting to an 100 plus chapter manhwa. If I'm right, chapter 97 came out last Sunday from when this is being recorded, and so chapter 98 comes out this Sunday. And so overall, this is pretty lengthy. There's a lot going for this. This is one of the potentially a very popular manhwa right now. It's funny because I think that this subsection of NSFW manhwa is actually really expansive, and over time they've been getting longer, and I've been discovering longer pieces too. These are things to get invested in, but I feel like the beauty of manhwa is that it's very easy to get invested into. Maybe invested is a very light word, more like addicted. Yeah, it's very easy to get into these manhwa because they are adapted for the smartphone readers, and they are great for commutes. They are great for reading in bed when you have nothing to do, because all you do is scroll downwards and you keep scrolling. Next chapter, scroll, scroll, scroll. I feel like you can limit yourself a lot more. This is a personal thing, but I feel like I can limit my manga consumption a lot more, or even anime consumption, because there feels like there are a lot more boundaries. With a manga, there are pages, and when I want to stop on a page, I kind of just stop, and the same applies to anime as well. When I'm even in the middle of an episode, I know I can stop it and then return to where I finished or left off, and if I finish an episode, then I know, oh, I can go to the next one another time. Manhwa, I don't feel like I have those boundaries or restrictions at all. I just keep scrolling and scrolling, and because almost all of these NSFW manhwa, they always end on some sort of cliffhanger, a very cliche cliffhanger, like they're doing something, if you get what I'm trying to say, and then someone will knock on the door, and then it's a, who's that, what's going on, and then that chapter ends, and then you're very desperate to see how they work their way out of these situations. But let's talk a bit more about Silent War specifically, and one of the reasons why I think this is a very interesting manhwa to get into, if this is your sort of thing, if you're into the ecchi, borderline H sort of subsection of manga and manhwa, this is great because we have two very good things about this. We have the multiple personalities of the girls which feature in this manhwa, as well as the larger thing, which is this quote-unquote silent war, silent battle between Hyun and Gunner, this amazing clash, which some would say is very boring for the first season because it is in two seasons, since manhwa have seasons, but I still think it progresses quite nicely. It is also important to note as well that this monolith still functions like a harem, like any other harem anime or manga you'll probably read. There is most likely going to be some sort of winner, even though I don't like using the term winner, but there is that element of romantic competition in there as well. Maybe not directly fighting for Hien, because there is Gunner and a lot of other things which complicate this manhwa. But overall, there is still that harem format which you can get from it. It's just a lot darker and a lot more mature. But as a result of this format, we get to meet multiple female characters and explore a much more unfamiliar, restrained relationship with Hien. This is a relationship which I don't think we get in a lot of harem manga or anime, where we don't have the restrictions of, oh, I'm not allowed to see you, or we have to do this in secret because this person's going to find out that we're doing things together. Also, because we have two really prominent male characters, kind of being the lead characters, if that makes a bit of sense, that means that their personalities, or the personalities of the girls within this manhwa, clash and gel quite differently, because one's relationship with one character might be completely different with the other, or they might act completely the same, and those differences, or the fact that one did something with one character, changes their personality with another. There's just a lot of secrecy, and it's very two-way. It's like a love triangle, but you added another triangle and another triangle to it, and it's not always love, sometimes it's for resources. So overall, just a very twisted, mature harem NSFW manhwa. I do recommend it. There are many others within this section of NSFW manhwa that I do think are very fun to read, but Silent War is really the one which captivated me the most. Almost certain I read this all in a day, and I'm not proud of it, but I did it because, and it was all in one sitting too, but it was that exciting, and it's all those things which I previously explained, which is why I enjoyed it a lot. And now for the final time, our question as to why did I watch this during lockdown, or why did I think this was a good option for lockdown? The reason for that is because I'm a sucker for addicting content. Okay, I don't really mean that, but I did get really sucked in from the get-go. I think it was exciting to see a weaker character that had brains try to take on the almost gang leader who doesn't have no brains at all. And when I found out how many chapters this had, I knew that this had to evolve to quite a big level, and it really managed to do that for me, which is why I'm still reading this weekly. And so with that being said, that is the, I don't know if I can call this an analysis, I think I'd be cheating if I said so, but for the sake of tradition, that has been the analysis for this week. Thank you for listening. I don't have an in the moment segment really, because this was an entire in the moment segment essentially. So I will go to a brief session of closing thoughts to talk about what really has been my experience watching and reading things during this crazy time we are in right now. So what do my lockdown picks kind of reflect about everything which has been going on? I think the very key takeaway, and this might be my only one, is that the media is a great way of escaping, and I think with anime and manga, which are often based in, or although we do have pieces which do reflect life a lot more, we do have the blessing of having pieces which are really distanced from reality, whether that's the world of Mesopotamian Fate, whether that's the criminal-ish organization, or let's call it quasi-criminal organization and harem of Silent War, whether that's the, although yes, Downfall is probably a lot more embedded within that, but even so, generally the mediums or metas which we enjoy so much have that detachment from reality, and that can be really fun, or at least really beneficial and really good on the mind for escaping the crazy reality which we live in right now. And I'm not suggesting we ignore it and shun it, because being aware of the news and the reality which we're in is very valuable at a point like right now, and I encourage you and myself to do that. But a mental break is always important, and I think anime, manga, manhwa give us a great chance to just escape, and that is in fact what I've been doing over the past few months. Thank you for listening to this episode. That has been episode 62, I do believe. Hopefully you did enjoy this episode. It was a lot more chilled back. If you do want more like chilled episodes like this, where I just talk about what I've been watching and what I've been enjoying lately, then feel free to tell me, whether that's a comment on my blog, whether that's what the blog is, getinthemecha.home.blog, whether that is Twitter, that is at getinthemecha, whether that's through a review or something. Feel free to leave a rating or a review, whether that's on Apple Podcasts, wherever you do get your podcasts. The way you do that is just go into the iTunes app or iTunes store, find podcasts, search Get in the Mecha, and then just go to ratings and reviews and leave a review of your choice. It'll be greatly appreciated. Helps me know what you guys want, what you don't want, what you like and what you don't like, and also just helps other people find the show as well, algorithmically and all that other back-end stuff which I'm not too sure about. But that has been this episode of the podcast. Thank you for listening. Have a great week. Have a great month. As I said, feel free to escape and enjoy the things which we love to consume, which is anime and manga and manhwa and such. But have a good one, guys. Thank you for listening. I have been your host, Jamal, today, and this has been Get in the Mecha. The music in this production goes as follows. 8-bit title screen by Joth, Mandatory Overtime by Joth, and Difference by Chasers Gaming.